chapter 24, Proverbs 24. Proverbs chapter 24. All right, we have fun. Proverbs 24 in verse 5. One of our memory verses. Let's open our Bibles now. Proverbs 24 in verse 5. A wise man, the Bible says, is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. And I just want to talk this afternoon to you about just how strong is a wise kid. Okay, just how strong it is to have wisdom. And a lot of people think that being a Christian is a wimpy thing. It's for sissies, you know. Sometime around 9, 10, 11 years old, you start to get the idea from your friends and from television and from the music that everybody's listening to. You get this idea that the Bible is something that is for wimps and for sissies. And I want to tell you that the greatest people in history that I know of, as I have read history, looked to God constantly for wisdom. The greatest scientists of all time were Bible-believing Christians, the ones who actually helped people, yeah. The ones who actually found cures and looked at the Bible. There was a time when people used to cut people's veins and try to bleed them to death, and then somebody found out that the life of the flesh, as the Bible said, was in the blood. You don't drain the life out of somebody in order to get rid of the bad parts. Another time, somebody was reading in the book of Leviticus, and the book of Leviticus said, if you ever touch a dead body, wash your hands. Sounds like normal good thinking. But in the hospitals back in the 1830s, they didn't do that. And so here was a doctor, and they would go and they would be dissecting using a big saw and cutting out people, trying to figure out what was on the inside. And then somebody would say, Dr. Butcher, Mrs. O'Reilly is having a baby. And so Dr. Butcher set his hands out of the yucky body, and he goes and he says, Mrs. O'Reilly, can I help you catch the baby? And then the babies would die. And they're going, I wonder what the problem is. And somebody got into the Bible and said, you know what? Let's hope that maybe God's right, and started washing hands, and the kids start living longer. Amen. Amen. Listen, the greatest musicians that I've ever heard were Bible believers. They loved God. There are so many great athletes. How many have seen a final, a World Cup or something, and after the end of the game, they lift up their t-shirt and would be, I love Jesus on it. Amen. And it would just be a shocker. You go, cool, you know. And there are some great athletes that love God. I believe the best leaders of all time follow Jesus Christ. I believe the worst leaders and the worst government officials of all time were selfish dictators and tyrants who had no time for God. You ever read of a man named Abraham Lincoln? Yeah. He risked his own popularity, and he was not reelected, by the way. But he risked everything in order to follow the burden that God had put upon him in the office of the President of the United States. And every day they could stand outside and they could hear him crying out, oh God, please help me, give me wisdom to know what to do today to lead this country. Great leaders believe in God and follow God. It is not wimpy to follow Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Solomon's wisdom. Now go back to the left and find a book called 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. Now chronicle simply means news. Every time you pick up a newspaper, it's a chronicle paper. It means a list of events. Now unfortunately, when you pick up a newspaper, it's bad news. But when you pick up the Bible, it's good news. Amen. But 2 Chronicles is sort of like a carry-on of the events and the lives of kings and the people of Israel. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 1. Watch your Bible. As it says this, and Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and magnified him exceedingly, made him very great. Solomon's wisdom had made him strong when God made him wise. Now his father David had personally fought and conquered all of his enemies and defeated them. And Solomon then hops on his horse and rides into a peaceful empire, a peaceful kingdom. There's no more battles to fight. So where is his strength? I mean, his daddy's strength was in the spear and in the bow. And Solomon's strength is a different kind of strength. And at first, as we know, there are different time frames for the life of Solomon. We're still here at this time where Solomon is humble, he is wise, and I want you to understand he is strong. It is not wimpy to follow Jesus.
Amen.
Right? I want you to see that Solomon grew greater and greater and stronger, even though he didn't fight a single battle. Did you know you don't have to prove...
Turn that paper scene.
You don't have to prove how strong you are by beating up on somebody. Amen? Do you understand? And yet most kids do. Most girls figure their fingernails were for scratching each other. But that's not why God gave you fingernails. Amen? That's revelation to some of you. Hey, wisdom helps you do things the smarter way, especially God's wisdom. When I worked for the telephone company many years ago, our motto was work smarter, not harder.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very good. Now, who are the weak kids in this room? I'll tell you who are the weak ones in this room. Those are kids who can't forgive. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. Where you've got somebody who really upsets you, and maybe it's your mom, maybe it's your dad, maybe it's your brother, your sister, probably your cat, I would expect. But you can't forgive somebody. That's a weakling. Because it takes a stronger man, a stronger girl, to be able to say, I forgive you, even though your heart is breaking. Those of you who can't stop lying, you're weak. If you're living a lie and you've got all these layers and you don't want anybody to know who you really are, you are just water. That's all you are. Because a real man, a real girl, a real boy will allow people to see them for who they are and allow them to accept them for who they are. You have to put on a show. You don't have to lie. You don't have to constantly say, Mom, I'm just going out for a few minutes and 2 hours later come back. You know you're lying. And that's a weakling. Kids who fight other kids, the stronger boy will walk away without fighting. The stronger girl will find a way to make peace between you and your enemy. That's what Jesus taught. Kids who constantly complain, I think they're the wimps. You know what? If every time at dinner we sat down and some kid went, hot dogs again! It's been a whole year since we had hot dogs, or maybe even there, you know? And then they're complaining, they're the weak ones. Do you understand? Because all they do is complain. That's not strength. It's wimpy. You know, there are a lot of kids in this room who can't have fun without the can. They can't have fun without the iPod. They can't have fun without the friends. They can't have fun without the guys or the girls. And let me tell you, you're wimps. We're having a lot of fun. You know what? Being a Christian is the greatest thing you can be and do. And believe me, it's the wimps out there who don't know what to do when they're home alone. I think I'm going to go crazy. You're weak. I want to show you strength this afternoon. Now, how does having wisdom make a man or a girl better, stronger, faster? How many ever seen the $6 Million Man? Ever hear that? See that, right? That's dating my age, all right? There's this guy who is in the space program, but he flies this experimental plane and he crashes. And then they come on and say, we can build him better, faster, stronger, you know? And so, you know, you get Dr. Barry there, and he's putting his, you know, bionics on his legs. He starts running 60 miles an hour. His arm can pick up cars and throw them. And, I mean, he was so cool, man. He was just so cool. The bionic man. And, you know, I want to tell you how wisdom can make you stronger, faster, better. Let's pray. Father, please help us today just to hear from your word. And to get the blessing out of knowing there is a secret hid inside of wisdom. It was buried inside of it. And we won't find it till we find wisdom. But once we open up wisdom and really let it work in our hearts, we'll find strength. I pray, Lord, help every child in this room not to be a pushover by the devil. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to nail this thing down. Come here, sweetheart. Let me use you for a second. Now, which one of us is bigger? I'm going to be the devil for a second. And I tell you what, you think I can push her around? Can I push her around?
Oh, man.
Can I push you around?
You can't push her back.
Well, you know what? push us around, doesn't it? And we feel powerless. I want to tell you, she doesn't have to be my size or bigger than me to beat me. Especially when I go to reach for it, she moves out of the way. If you'd ever learn that my pushing, all you have to do is move. Amen? All you have to do is just get smarter. Now, I think you can sit down. And I want to help you be smarter than the devil this afternoon. You didn't think it was possible. How strong is wisdom? Let me tell you just how strong it is. Stronger than yourself.
Amen.
What do I mean by that? It is stronger than you, alright? The reason why God wants to give you wisdom is because you have enough strength as it is. I want you to get the idea that what you're facing as you grow up is something called life, and it's bigger than you. And whatever strength you have, whatever abilities you have, are not enough. So wisdom is stronger than you. Let me just introduce some of these things. It is strong enough to defeat the devil. Now, you may not believe this, but it is strong enough. Did you know he who is wise unto salvation beats the devil? Because what does the devil want you, Kyle? What does the devil want you? Think. Well, the question is real simple. Where does the devil want you?
In hell.
In hell. And before you get saved, do you not understand? He has a grip on you, correct?
Yeah.
And he is pulling you where? He is pulling you down. But did you know he who gets wise unto salvation is able to break free of the grip of the second most powerful being in this universe? That's strong. Amen? And you do it without a fight. Third thing, this wisdom is strong enough to conquer your bad habits. Yeah. See, sometimes you say, all right, I'm not going to smoke again. And 3 hours later, you can make all of the decisions you want, but the wisdom that book gives you, the wisdom that God gives you, will give you the ability to figure out how to break that habit.
Amen.
First thing you do is you put dog poop on the end of that thing. Let's see how long you suck on it. Amen. And if you really are sweet, you say, do it when I'm not looking. So when you go to light out, they go, whoa, this thing stinks. That's wisdom, amen? Do you understand? There are ways to help you quit. Now, I'm just having fun with you, but let me keep going. This wisdom we're talking about is strong enough to carry our burdens. You guys probably have so easy in life. I mean, what do you have to do besides make your bed? I mean, it's just, if you even do that. Listen, which you don't. Listen, as you get older, there are more and heavier burdens in life. And none of us are built to carry them. We're going to have wisdom to know how to carry our burdens. Jesus said, take up your cross and carry it. Another thing, you're strong enough to live without pills, without drink, without drugs. How many of you know people in your family who every day of their life, they're popping, maybe it's an antidepressant. Maybe they're drinking out of a can just to take the edge off the end of the day. Maybe some teenage friends you've got and they're taking a little blue pill or a red pill or a yellow pill or a green pill or I don't know what. Just to have a little bit of fun. What are they doing? They can't face life without it. And the wisdom that I'm talking about is strong enough so that you can live free of it. Amen? And strong enough to do the work of 100 people. The wisdom we're going to read about here in this book here in just a few minutes is strong enough to help you do the work of 100 people. Did you know there are different strengths? Let me introduce you to a guy who wants to lift a truck by himself. All right. So he sits down there, and you know what that guy does? He actually lifts it up. Now, it's a funny thing. I think he's one of the dumbest guys in the world, you know? He's sitting there going, come on, girls, notice me. Come on, somebody notice me before I drop this thing. Because his strength is only so long. I'll tell you the real wise guy. It's the guy that comes along and he uses jack. Do you see one sitting there? The other guy raises it up. Amen! That's wisdom! Here's a girl who tries to dress to impress. Amen? And then there's the girl who prays a lot and has a sweet and quiet and godly attitude. And real guys start flocking around.
There you go. Amen.
Different wisdoms, different strengths. Here's a guy who robs a shop to get some money. There's another guy who works hard, saves his money, invests his money, and becomes a millionaire.
Yeah.
One's wise and one's stupid. One owns a suit of clothes that's worth 1,000 euros. The other one owns a striped outfit given to him in order to be in a prison. Amen. Different strengths. Now, wisdom has a strength built in. Let me show you four verses here. Proverbs 8:14. Find that verse. Proverbs 8 and verse 14. Proverbs 8 and verse 14. If you get wisdom, you will get strength. You will get stronger. Look at Proverbs 8 and verse 14. Counsel is mine. Wisdom is speaking. And sound wisdom. I am understanding. Guess what wisdom says? I have strength. I have it. It's like a venom to your soul. It's something if you take it, you just feel stronger. Amen? That is what, now it's not something you take in your mouth, it's something you take in your eyes and into your heart. Let me show you another one. Look at Proverbs 21 and verse 22. Proverbs 21 and verse 22. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty, and he casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. It does not say a mighty man conquers the city of the mighty. What does it say? Who wins in that battle? The wiser guy. The wiser man. He's able to conquer an entire city. I tell you what. Wouldn't that be better? To be able to win whatever fights you're in. To be wiser than your enemies and win. That's what we want to teach you more about this week. Let me show you another one. Ecclesiastes. Go to the right. Find chapter 7 and verse 19. Ecclesiastes. Just the next book over. Chapter 7 and verse 19. You know, one guy who gets wisdom is stronger than 10 guys who have a lot of strength. Look at your Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 19. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. Now, in the city means they're in protection of the walls. But outside of the walls is a single guy, and he gets wisdom, and he's mightier than they all. Wisdom has a strength. Let me introduce you to the strongest man ever. Luke chapter 2.
Amen.
Luke chapter 2. This is a wild thing. Luke chapter 2. In verse 40. The strongest man ever. I think one of the greatest t-shirts I think I've ever seen. You ever seen guys, you know, in their bench presses? You're sitting there and you're laying back on the back of one of these weightlifting things and you're pressing up. You know, you see these guys and they're pressing 400 pounds. They're pressing 450. They're pressing 500. I saw this picture and it had Jesus Christ on the cross. And above him was the world. And he's like this. He says, bench press this. Oh, man. Whoa, yeah. That made me just go, yes, I follow that man. Amen. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. And the child, this Jesus, he grew. He waxed strong in spirit. Filled with what? He didn't start off with a little bit of wisdom. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Oh, man. Let me talk to you about strong wisdom, okay? How to be wisely strong. And just a few things in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Back to Ecclesiastes in chapter 7. What does it take, Brother Ledbetter, for me to get wisdom? What does it take for me to be wise? I'll tell you how. Just six or seven things, real brief. Let me show you. And one of them is going to be really important to me to make a point about. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 1. Let me just read this verse. A good name is better than precious ointment. Just hold there right there and just let me say this. If you want to be wisely strong, not just brutally strong, any brute can beat somebody else out. Amen. But I always like the kind of comedy shows where this big bully comes up and he gets ready to beat somebody and the other guy's faster than him. I think that's cool. There's just something about anticipating your enemy. And anybody who's ever been in boxing knows that you get the biggest, strongest in the boxing ring. He's not always guaranteed to win. The guy is fastest on his feet. the guy who knows the weakness of the other man who's attacking him, and he knows, he always goes for a right and then a left, so I'll be ready for a second. It's called fighting wisely, amen? Not just,
come on, beat on me, you know?
It is being wiser. Now, the Bible says the first thing that is important for you to have, if you're going to have wisdom, is a good name. Toby, where are you? Stand up for a second. Oh, Toby, stand up. Toby, you have a good name.
Amen.
Keep it that way. Listen to me. Look at me. Because that's the beginning of wisdom. It's called a reputation. It's what people think of you. They may be all wrong, but they ought to be right that Toby's a good boy. Good young man. A young boy, but a good young man. They ought to look at you and they ought to think, instead of Toby, they ought to think, Toby, a good guy.
Hey.
Listen to me, if I mention the name Hitler, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But if I say Toby, if I say Daniel, amen? Although some of you, I'm worried about. listen. You know what God says? A good name is better. Listen to these words. You'd be sitting there for a second. I go into, listen. All of the girls' rooms, I just want to praise you. Girls, you are great because every one of your rooms smell like a room. But I went into the guys' room, they either smell like triple dead socks or there's enough cologne to bury the ark. Listen. The Bible says a good name is better than cologne. That's what it's telling you. Amen? I get so sick of these guys. Listen to me. I get so sick of you guys. That's you too. And on the shoes. Well, I can't go out. My shoes are 6 months old. People laugh at me. I've got a skull for recovery. You are so backwards, amen. Good name. That's the first step to having wisdom, is worrying about, I wonder if my life has any reflection of good, not just a name. See, some of you got a name, man. I don't know any of them, but I'm going to pick on them and say, hopefully you don't have a name, you know? Meaning that, well, here, can I tell me your name again?
You too.
All right? And that, it's like, remember, have you watched Lion King, you know? Mufasa. Mufasa, you know? And it's that name. But then there's, what's the brother's name or the half-brother's name?
Scar.
You know, yeah. See, one of them had a name, the other had a good name. Amen? Those hyenas were fantastic, amen? But it's true! I mean, the person didn't even be there before. Ooh, it just makes me shiver. The thing is, listen, when you hear a name, it matters what people think of you. And I don't want your low-down, skilly friends thinking, oh, he's got a name, man. I mean, you say his name, he's trouble, he's bad. Have a good name, amen? A reputation. A good reputation. God, hey, if I say the name Jesus, you know what?
Amen.
It's the sweetest name I know.
Amen.
He lived to protect that name so that when people say it, that at the name of Jesus, you know what it says? Every knee should bow.
Amen.
Not everybody does. They will. But at that name, every knee should bow.
Praise the Lord.
What a name. Now, I follow him. That's wisdom. Second thing. Let's keep reading there in verse 1 and also jump down to verse 8. He says a good name is better than precious ointment. And the day of death than the day of one's birth. Let me say this. You may not like it. Most people don't like going to funerals. But let me say this. If you're saved, I look forward to it.
Well, yeah. Amen.
My birthday is nothing compared to my death day. You think about it for a minute. The day of my death is best day ever of my life. What?
You say that? It's a terrible day.
Are you kidding? If you bring out those stupid little things that try to bring people back, you know, always alive again, I'll kill you. Because if I'm on that tunnel of light and I'm
me back down there to earth. I'm going to be there. He said, I want to go home. Amen. You understand? The day of your death is much better. Live for something that's ahead. Don't sit there and only live for now and live for your friends and stuff. And, oh boy, it's my birthday. And it was, Mutsa, it was your birthday. Where are you?
There are you.
That was a nice birthday. She gave me a piece of cake.
She knew what to do. But the point is, if you're saved, the day of your death is much better.
Amen.
Than the day of your birth. We don't know exactly when Jesus' birthday was. We celebrate on the 25th of December, but we do know His death day, don't we?
We do.
Isn't that amazing? Look down at verse 8. It says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. That's what he's saying. Listen, whatever you start, some of you are starting camp, and you know what? Here is Wednesday. And I'm so far, there's really no real problems. Michael's been so strong, but I always come into camp, and I think, who's going to get home sick? Who's going to put, Mommy, look at me. These people are scary. Well, what do you know what I mean? Well, nobody's listening to rock music. Yeah. And I worry that somebody gets started at something so good and won't finish it. And you know, that worries me, because if you don't learn how to finish things, you'll never have wisdom. Even if it's a poor job, finish it. And it's much better than not finishing it at all.
Finish what you start. Did you know God hates quitters? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now, I appreciate all of you helpers, but I'm telling you, God looks around and says, you know, we need faithful workers. I'm not looking for the rocket scientists, but the wisest workers are the ones who came to finish the job, and I appreciate you. Amen. Amen. Finish what you start. It is wiser to finish something, to finish anything, than to have loads of starts and no finishes. You ever been into a house? Some of you kids, I'm going to tell you about it. I'm going to talk to the adults for a second. You ever been to a house and they started the kitchen 3 years ago?
Amen.
And it's still not done. And they started the garden and it's still being worked on. And they started this and so many starts, and not one of them are finished. I'm just as guilty as all the other guys in here. Now, ladies are usually very good at it. Amen? I don't understand it. I don't know. But guys are pathetic when it comes to lots of starts, poor finishers. So guys, listen to me. Are you looking at me? Finish school. Finish school. That doesn't mean primary school either. That means go to college. Amen? You need to do 1, 2, 3 years of college. You need to finish school. Be a finisher. You need to finish a day's work. Oh, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm so tired. I've got to go home, boss. Stay at it. Finish. How many of you... I'm going to ask you an honest question. Don't you dare lie. How many of you finished reading your Bible all the way through one time? Let me see how many of you finished completely reading your Bible. Hold your hands up high. Hold them up high. 7, 8, 9 of you. That's not right. If you've been saved for more than 6 months, you should at least have the New Testament read. Finish your Bible. Joshua, finish reading your Bible. If you want wise, if you want to be wise, finish what you start. Amen?
Yeah.
Will you do that? If you want to be wise, you're not ever going to be wise until you finish that book. And then let me encourage you, finish it again and again and again and again. Hey, finish the dishes. It's an interesting concept because my kids are very good at this. We'll say, go do the dishes. And what they'll do is they'll go in and they'll rinse the dishes, pile them up, and then back out they go. And they're not in the dishwasher. They didn't finish the job.
Amen.
The point is, we go only so far, and there's no wisdom in that. Finish everything you start. Third, go to still in chapter 7, look at verse 2. Oh, this is some wise things. Again, we're reading the wisest book ever written. Look at your Bible. It is better to go to the house of mourning, that's sadness, then to go to the house of feasting, that's the fun fair. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Verse 3, sorrow is better than laughter. Do you hear what Solomon's trying to do? He's trying to teach somebody that he made a mistake throughout almost 20 years of his life. He spent going after laughter, after entertainment, after watching the comedies, after trying to play all the games, and have all the fun, and write every right at the fun fair. And he says, you know what I found out? Sorrow actually is a better teacher than the fun fair. Keep going. For by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise, look at the last verse here, verse 4. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning or sadness, but the heart of fools, it's in the house of mirth, merriment, happiness, and all this stuff. Listen. Find my page here. Strong strength is in brokenness for your sin. It is better to go to a funeral than to a party sometimes, folks. Your life is going to end up in a funeral home and in a grave. It'd be good to contemplate that. I've been to several funerals, and you know what? Half of the people there are drunk. They can't even face what just happened. They don't want to think about it. They've been drinking before the funeral, and they go drink after the funeral. What's wrong? What's wrong? They don't want to think about it. The Bible says you ought to go there and you ought to think about it. Somebody dies in your family, it is better for you to look at that thing and say, am I ready?
Amen.
Am I ready? Parties, festivals, carnivals, entertainment have no impact on how we live. Jokes are hollow when compared to eternity. When things are going good, people don't take God seriously. They don't pray. They don't seem to need Him. Listen, according to verse 3, it says, by the sadness of the countenance of the face, the heart is made better. Did you know, whatever is hurting you, if you're wise and if you're letting God be Lord of your life, and this is deep, I know, but listen to me. If you let that sadness just go ahead and work on you, it'll make your heart better. Because I'm going to give you a great point here in just a moment. It's called brokenness. Listen to this. Psalm 51 verse 17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. Do you know what brokenness is? Is brokenness is the ability when you're like, oh, I didn't do anything wrong. What are you asking me for? You know, brokenness is when you admit it and you go, it's going to hurt me to admit it. It's going to embarrass me. It will humiliate me. But I crumble. Now that brokenness is what you need, guys. Girls, sometimes the Holy Spirit gets you. Sometimes it's your parents that catches you. The first thing you do is you act like Miss Angel.
Really? I wasn't doing
that. In brokenness, listen, if you want wisdom, when you sin, first thing that's going to happen is God is going to bring somebody in your life to catch you. Do you believe that?
Yes.
You say, well, I haven't been caught yet. You are so wrong. You probably have been caught, just nobody's talked to you yet. And if you haven't been caught, let me tell you this, you will be. Because God is not mocked. And you know what God wants you to do? He wants you to break. And the wisest thing you'll ever do. You say, but everybody, they'll laugh at me. They'll make fun of me. They'll know I do wrong. They'll know that I lie. They'll know they'll found out that I've been cheating or I've been doing all these things wrong. Yeah, but that'll be the wisest thing that ever happens to you is when you admit it and you start a different way. If all you do is live this lie, you're going to end up a pawn of the devil, a puppet of the devil. Break when you sin. That's probably the deepest thought that I'm going to give you. But it is something that hopefully, you'll remember in time. Next point, because it's in the Bible. Next point, look at verse 3 again. It says this, sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. But the heart of the fools is in the house of mirth. In this verse, it doesn't say, sorrow is where it's at, man. It does not say, sorrow is the best. It says, you sorrow, but put it in the past. Let sorrow work, bring you down. You know, the best kind of youth camp we can have is when some of you kids, start to realize that you put Jesus on the cross. That your sins was why He died. It wasn't because of your mommy and daddy's. It wasn't because of great-grandma's. Or it wasn't because of somebody a long time ago. It's because you're the sinner. Amen? And when it gets a hold of your heart and you begin to cry, and you begin to bow your head and you say, God, I am so sorry for being so stubborn and so hard-hearted. I've never wept. I've never shed a tear. I've never thought of just how awful it was for you to die in my place. And I never once, ever, ever, ever said thank you. You know, that's the beginning of this most special kind of meetings. Because then wisdom is in control. Wisdom is being placed into everybody's heart. And once that happens, do you think anybody is supposed to walk around like the monks, you know? What's wrong?
Oh, I just came from youth camp. It was terrible.
No. Jesus' death was terrible. Believe me. He rose again.
Amen.
Jesus sat on the cross, and you know what he's able to say to you, Joshua? Father, forgive him. Because he didn't know what he's doing. The great truth is this. Wisdom says that a bit of sorrow will make your heart better. Do you understand? When I was a kid, and it was long ago, it's not quite. All the medicines that we took tasted bad.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hell yeah.
You're talking about vegetables having sugar on them. Everything has sugar in it. Toothpaste and mouthwash and everything. But when I was a kid, the way we knew we were getting medicine was it tasted bad. Oh, that medicine, good. We knew it. Now let me say this. When church, when the Bible feels bad, that's good. Amen? When it's all sugar-coated, when you open up your Bible and it's nothing but pictures, oh, look, that's Jesus, Mary, Joseph, John the Baptist, woo! And there's no strong words, no fear of God, no concern about souls, but there's nothing gripping the heart, your heart is never made better. You understand?
Yeah.
Now, I struggled with this message because I said, Lord, nobody's going to understand this. And the Lord says, shut up and preach it. So hopefully you'll get some of these things. Go forward, which means as soon as your heart has been gripped and broken, now you can fly. Next thing, learn from getting in trouble. Verse 5, this is Solomon. Solomon is at the end of his life and he's looking back and he says, this is what I've learned. Verse 5, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than to hear the song of the rock musicians. Amen?
Amen?
Michael Jackson included. Who are the most who are the famous musicians today?
YouTube.
That's free. Freakies, whatever, that's not like a cereal. Rice Freakies. No, I'm telling you. Huh? What do I see? See, there's these guys, you know. Man, and Ali G, and all of these rappers, and all this stuff. Listen to me. It's better to hear a God-fearing, sin-hating, screaming, yelling preacher, just one of them, than to hear 30 hours of some Grammy women musician who gets up there, and he can't even make one sentence make sense. Amen? You listen to it, kind of, what did he say? I don't know, but it was through the beat. Watch what he says. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise, that includes your parents, than for a man to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, you know, you get this thing and it's cooking the pot, you know, the heating up. It says you listen to the sound of the crackling of those sticks under the pot, so is the laughter of a fool. This also is a waste of your time. That's what he's saying. You know, you listen, you turn to the radio, just find things static and go, that's the same as rock music.
Come on, man. Amen.
It does the same good for you as just listening to static on the radio. Amen. You don't believe me. But I've been there. I know just how deadhead I was before I got set free and I got into godly music. Amen.
Amen.
And I love preaching.
Hey.
Amen.
Hey.
This strength comes from hearing you getting in trouble. What do I mean by getting in trouble? When your parents say, we need to talk. And then you sit down and say, now what were you doing? And you go, nothing. You say, liar. And they go, I saw you. We got the camera up there to take pictures of you. I saw you. Now tell me, why did you do it?
I don't know.
I know why you did it. And out they come, and you're like fighting it. Why don't you learn from it?
Yes,
why don't you learn it's not worth it? It's not worth it to do wrong. Your parents want the best for you.
Yes, it is.
And you know, there's not a parent alive who wouldn't give you, at 16 or 17 years old, who wouldn't give you a car.
Yeah.
Wouldn't just hand it over to you if they knew they could trust you.
Praise
if they knew that you obeyed them and loved them and you loved God. There's not, I don't care how unsaved your parents are, they would give you everything. They give you the moon.
They knew they could trust you.
Amen. Amen. Learn from getting in trouble. Don't keep doing it over and over. Amen. Last point, I think. Two more. Go to chapter 7, verse 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. You know what Solomon is doing? He's trying to condense some of the things that are important for you to develop and for you to work on so you'll be wise. And one of them is to control your anger. Look at Proverbs 16. Go to the left. Go back to Proverbs 16. 16 and verse 32. Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger, slow to get angry, is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit, and his spirit is his attitude. He that ruleth his spirit is mightier than he that can take a what?
City.
All right. Let's see. Come here, John. For a second.
Uh-oh.
Now. Let's see.
Hold on.
Mightier than that might.
Wisdom.
No, hold on. Wisdom is to know my might is in I'm so mad at him, I could actually
kill him. Yeah, do it.
I want to be your friend.
Can we go over lunch? Which takes more strength? To beat his face in or to conquer your own anger? Which takes more strength? To hold it in and to look at an extended friendship handshake and say,
I forgive you.
You understand? Amen? That is a mighty man, and that is wisdom. Wisdom, you know what? If I went after him and I started beating on him, you don't have to go get three friends and they'll start beating on me. You're getting more, and you're stupid, amen?
Amen.
But when you look in the mirror, you made a friend. Why? Wisdom. Isn't it awesome? One last thing. Quit your complaining and enjoy today. You wouldn't believe it, but it's in there. Look back in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 10. Say not thou. And this is usually for the older folks, but it's good for you to understand too. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? Now this is so flowery. But he's saying, oh, it was so much better when I was a kid. Listen, for thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. You're not really thinking. Do you remember the children of Israel? We learned this 3 years ago. We talked about God taking Egypt out of us, remember? And when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, it didn't take them just a few weeks before they said, I wish we were home. Oh boy, I'm so sick of this manna, I could just devour a garlic clove. Oh, my mouth watering for cucumber. How many of you desire a cucumber and garlic?
Me!
Shut up. The more beautiful it looks. And so when they came out and they're trying to live by faith, they got a little rough and God was giving them, they had manna pancakes, manna burgers, they had manna enchiladas, they had rice, manna mush and gravy, you know, they had manna everything. And then it was all every morning, it was just getting on to them. They had quail in the evening and they started thinking, it was so much better back in Egypt. That's got to be the most crazy thing ever said. Because all they were slaves in Egypt. Yeah. Let me say this. This is how it applies to Christians. Don't ever say, don't ever think, unless you're totally stupid and never born again, never think, it was so much funner before I got saved. It was so much better before I started living for God. It was so much more exciting before I had to go to church. Do you understand?
Yeah, right.
Why is you are, what does he say? Back there at the very end of verse 10, he says, thou dost not inquire, you don't think wisely concerning this.
if you can't remember how stupid you were before you got saved, and if you keep wishing, I wish I didn't have to read my Bible now, I know I need to, I know I need the church, I wish you could just put it down and go back to the old life, you're not wise. Do you understand? Because where were you going when you were, before you met Christ, before you got saved? The Bible says there in Psalm 73, it says, our feet were in slippery places, and the moment we were brought to desolation and destruction, we would have gone straight to hell. And whatever little fun we had now would have been over with. I'd much rather live for today and forever and never complain one more day about living for Jesus. Let's stand this time in prayer. This all starts and finishes with one person named Jesus Christ. He's the giver of such wisdom. The Bible says this. In Philippians 4:19, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. You want strong wisdom? You need Jesus. This is kind of funny. If every head bowed, every eye closed, just imagine for a minute one of these old Russian eggs, hand painted. You pop open one of them and there's another one inside. And you pop open that one and there's another one inside. When you get Jesus Christ, there's wisdom available for you in Him. And then you get into wisdom, you open it up, guess what's inside there? Strength. It's not envy. It's just what we need. Father, I pray, Lord, that some of these young people would look into their hearts. And they start to look at the ways that the mind thinks and compare themselves to like that guy who wants to lift the car and he didn't know there was a better way, a smarter way, a wiser way to do it. She's like a girl who constantly is worried about whether some guy is going to notice her, and so she's constantly putting on the makeup, constantly the outfits are new and the money she spends just to get attention. She doesn't realize there's a much better way to get a guy. It's be patient and to pray and to live for you. And it's a whole lot less stressful. A whole lot more rewarding. Lord, a lot of kids in this room have never thought there's a different way to live. A wiser way. Maybe somebody's never been born again. And my heart's burden is that there might be 3 or 4 in this room that are going to split hell wide open when they die. They could die anytime. They don't have to be 50 years old before they die. They can be 15. Plenty of them die. Because of car accidents. Because just stupid things. Lord, and they won't be ready. They will pass into eternity and there's no coming back. There's no second chances, God. I pray you'd scare somebody today that they have not been wise. And every Christian in this room, put the fear of God back in us so that we want to be wise. We don't want to live and waste our lives like Solomon did. Where we could be able to look back and go, yeah, I was stupid. I'd rather look back without regrets, Father. I'd rather not let the devil push me around anymore. I want to be strong. I want to, having done all, to stand against the wiles of the devil. I want to be wise like Jesus. Thank you for giving us the Bible to teach us about Jesus. Thank you for allowing us to pray, inviting us to ask you constantly for wisdom. Thank you for giving it to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you. I pray, Lord, continue to work through this day. Our preaching tonight, bring this all together for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. You can be seated.